David Abramson, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Zanati.
Morning.
We did enjoy that song in the studio.
Yeah, I think so.
And I was most pleasantly surprised to hear that that came from Glenn Hazel, as many good things do, Howard.
Exactly, as many good things do. All right, David, because you are an internationally known psychologist in private practice, can you please tell me what trypophobia is and how many people suffer from this terrible, terrible affliction?
Well, you're putting me on the spot, but if I understand correctly, this is a fear of small holes. And I think why this has come up recently is because Apple yesterday announced their latest iPhone 11, and their camera has been adapted, and there are, instead of one hole at the back, there are three. So clearly this has disturbed a couple of people in the world who have this phobia. So, yeah.
That's so one hole doesn't trigger them?
No, three.
Is it only three?
It's apparently only three holes.
Oh, my God.
And they are upset with Apple because Apple is being insensitive to trypophobia of people.
Well, I imagine so. Is this what you're reading?
Yeah.
Well, my suggestion would be then just stick to the iPhone 10. That's just, I don't know what
you think. No. Apparently that's not what's going to happen. They are now suing Apple for being sensitive to their...
Really?
Yeah, because they're going to be triggered, Zanati.
Oh,
they're going to be triggered. They're going to be triggered, and we don't want anyone to be triggered.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Them and the penguins, I heard this morning.
What do you think of the gender?
Howard.
We're not assigning penguins any gender.
No, what I was thinking, what actually my thought of the week was how much you have grown as a person.
Oh, you're calling me fat. I have put on a bit of weight, but I'm trying to lose it, David.
No.
Oh, see, you mean emotionally?
When I switched on the radio and heard Muslim Brook, I thought I didn't know what radio station I was listening to.
No, it was for an 80-year-old birthday.
That's why
it was Nikki's birthday. She turned 80, and you know what? I was prepared to do that.
Howard, that shows. I have to say, I nearly SMS'd
in
and said, unbelievable personal growth, and well
Thank
done.
Thank you, David.
Well
Thank
done.
Thank you. Coming from you, that is obviously very, very meaningful. So,
does that mean you're going to be playing it again soon?
No, it's unlikely.
Okay.
It is unlikely. Okay. Only
growth for 1 week.
Only when Nikki turns 80 again.
Then I will
definitely do that. Time is 8:16. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. We are talking about, we're going to be talking about superstitions. So, David, tomorrow is Friday the 13th, and for some reason that's a day to be superstitious.
It's so interesting this, Howard, and I'm so glad that you decided to do this topic this morning because firstly, something lighter, I think, but it is fascinating because I think if we had to think about it and we become more observant, we'll see within ourselves that we have a good couple of ritual superstitions that we tend to do, and famous people. You know, if you watch tennis, if you watch,
That was the interesting thing. I think sports people are unbelievably superstitious. Listen to a couple of these comments that I got yesterday.
Matthew Gaskell, as a batsman, I used to put my left pad on first and then my right pad. My gloves was the left glove as well.
Amazing.
I always used to wear a certain kind of necklace when I played games.
My daughter is suspicious. If you ever try and move a mirror, she freaks out because she believes if a mirror breaks, bad luck is to follow.
Not superstitious. Maybe the salt one. I'm just not too sure. When you spill it, which shoulder you throw it over?
The left.
Superstitions do you have?
I tie my left pad when I play cricket first.
Why?
It's just a habit.
No, that's not a superstition. It's not a habit.
But that's my habit. Other guys did it because they thought they scored runs.
Oh, but you're better than that.
I know how to know when I'm useless. Like, I'm averagely useless.
So this is the most incredible thing. Whoever I asked, I mean, have you heard that one? Said, no, I'm not superstitious. Okay, but hold on. Hang on. Do the salt thing.
Yeah.
And then somebody else said, no, I'm definitely not. But I put my left pad on. Why? Oh, no, it's not because I'm superstitious. It's just... Why is it doing it?
And it's amazing when you hear about who is superstitious and who isn't. The demographic is very, very, uncertain because they do say women tend to be more, superstitious.
Who's they? Men.
But it really...
Male penguins. That's who. That's who. Yes.
The iPhone 11.
Right. Yeah.
But I think...
So insensitive.
Sorry, yeah. Howard. But absolutely, it's really, it's all of us. The demographic seems to be young, old, educated, not as educated. But it's interesting that, you know, we always talk about anxiety and how anxiety has got such a bad rap. And it seems to be that people who have a higher levels of anxiety tend to be a little bit more suspicious. And it makes sense because when you...
Hold on. Suspicious or superstitious?
Superstitious.
All right, because everybody, I mean, people got to ask... Suspicious, not suspicious, superstitious.
No, at South Africa, we're very suspicious.
Yeah. Okay, so people that have higher levels of anxiety are more superstitious.
More prone to superstition.
I guess that makes sense.
And the reason is...
So you don't want to blow anything.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's take an example of someone who has a presentation to give, a very important presentation, or Serena Williams, who has some very interesting, you know, things that she does. But, you know, you can train, you can prepare for the talk, and you can do everything that you can possibly do to control a positive outcome.
Mm.
And then somehow, you know, we know that no matter what we do, it is unpredictable. We can try to play our best. And so as human beings, what we try and do is with that anxiety is we try and take the what's not predictable and what's a certain outcome and try, I suppose, add more probability that it's going to be or that we have more control. So
it's so interesting
we start to do things that we then, even very educated, clever people, will say to you, there's no way. I know that by wearing my lucky watch, it absolutely, I know logically it's not going to, but last time I did my presentation, it went fantastically.
Yes,
the time
I might
before.
As well just wear it again.
And that's the thing. Why not? It's not such, you know, the rituals that are easy to do or the, you know, are the why nots. And that's how they become, habitual because it's like, oh, so let me just put on the watch. Obviously, it becomes a bit more of a problem when, you know, when if you don't have your watch because it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I remember coming home from my bar mitzvah. Now I've got to remember. I remember things. So I don't know why you looked at Zanati.
Yes, I don't remember what I did yesterday. Never mind.
Okay. No. So I am. But I'm blessed. I have a memory, a decent memory. I remember coming home from my. Well, also maybe because it was such a dramatic event, because I came home and my grandmother waterboarded me. Okay, I don't think she intended it, but basically she took a wet cloth, and she called me into the bathroom and she wiped my face. I think 3 times, and that was. It was my first waterboarding experience, actually. She wiped my face 3 times, and that was to make sure that the evil eye, an eye in horror, wouldn't affect me.
Right.
After my bar mitzvah. And there was just no chance that she was going to even contemplate that this was an option, not an option.
No, absolutely. You had to be cleansed.
Yes. So, or protected. I don't really.
Absolutely. And I think for me, again, these things are easy to do. And so why not do them? And, you know, as we said, you know, the problem comes in is when, it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, as it can be positive, as in, well, I've got my lucky watch on, or I've got this, you know, I'm going to be lucky. It's going to be a great presentation.
And I'll only play cricket well if I tie my pad on
a certain way. It becomes negative when, I tied my pad the wrong way.
Yeah, and I'm never going to succeed.
And I'm never going to succeed. But it's interesting. If we had to really look at, as I say, you know, watch Serena Williams on her first.
Well, it's interesting because Ian says that. Ian says, being part of a generation's old superstition allows us to feel that we have power over the situation.
Absolutely.
Which is exactly what you're saying, to gain control over our children's fate and follow the footsteps of our own Jewish upbringing. I grew up with lots of spitting was big. Salt infused rituals and general anxiety about attracting the evil eye. Yeah, that's a big one. For my late Bobba's generation, that's his late grandmother's generation of blessed memory, it felt un-Jewish to give children a compliment. It's true. We believed that it would curse their good fortune. I mean, it's absurd. But as naive a 10-year-old, I was often offended and confused. As I've grown older and wiser, I have a better understanding of why my Bobba freaked out sometimes. And how spitting three times made you feel better. So true. I forgot about the two. And it is a nutty
what he goes on about.
So,
yes, if it's like, God forbid,
two. Like, what do they, you know, what they're getting divorced, like, you know, the marriage, you know, saying, two.
Oh my God.
As if like you're spitting over there. There's a lot of spitting going on. Crazy. Absolutely.
But if you think about it, you know, when we sneeze, we say, bless you.
I was actually about to say, and even when someone doesn't say bless you to me, I say to myself, bless me.
Yes.
Because isn't it that when you sneeze, all the bad spirits come out? And you say bless you so that the good spirits stay in.
Well, actually, you know, it came from the, one of the plagues.
Yes.
Where if you started sneezing, there was a very good chance that you were suffering from it. And it was like somebody sneezed, oh, God bless you.
Yeah. God bless
like,
you.
Yeah, like, and keep you safe.
And walking under the ladder is from the time of the medieval times when you would walk. Oh, sorry, not the plagues. I'm getting confused. That's the sneezing. When you walk under a ladder, it would remind people of the gallows. So
there's another one because I looked it up yesterday. I did a lot of research on this, and in fact, maybe I've got it here. But there was this whole thing about the ladder because it formed a triangle, that's what it was. It was a Christian belief of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in Christianity, you've got this concept of the three parts of faith that make up the whole, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that's often represented in a triangle. By walking underneath the ladder, you are breaking that triangle. So, because of obviously that's what it forms.
Right.
So you don't do that. So it actually came from Christian mythology.
And it's amazing how we, you know, associate and, you know, objects with things, you know, and for example, if you had a jacket, for example, and this is obviously an extreme example, that was worn by your idol, you know, whether it's a pop star, you know, an actor or someone you absolutely respect. I mean, you're going to hold on to this thing, wear it, smell it. But imagine it was a serial killer. You know, the association
is
very powerful. We have certain associations which have no logical kind of follow through. Like Serena Williams, I don't know why I'm on, but bounces her, the ball five times. Watch when you watch her play on her first serve. And she also wears the same pair of socks throughout a tournament. She doesn't wash them and she wears the same ones.
Okay, that's throughout. Just
just giving.
I mean, she's a tennis player. Those socks are seeing a fair amount of
sweat. Actually, I've got to be more specific. I'm not sure if she might wash them, but she just definitely wears the same.
Wow.
The same pair of, and it's amazing. Like Jennifer Aniston, when she gets onto a plane, she taps her right foot and puts her left arm on the plane. Just because, you know.
Well, it's interesting. So Nikki says, I do scribing, and at every exam, I take the student a bottle of water. Her desk has a stockpile full of bottles, but if I feel like I don't do that, something's not going to go right.
Right.
So that's also interesting. Unsigned says, mirrors were very expensive. That is why children were told that if you broke them, they would bring years of bad luck. Actually, not true. I happened to look that one up as well. I did my research about this.
You had a busy day yesterday.
These things are important because, so in fact, where did this come from is the Romans believed it was back in, I think it was the, I don't know if it was, it was the Romans. They believed if you saw sort of a crack in this type of thing that, you know, in the water and, you know, the whole reflection of the water, if you saw like a ripple or a crack, it meant that you weren't well. Okay. And what they also believed is in order to get better again, the cycle of life and death and health was 7 years. So if you looked at a mirror, which was, let's say, the water or reflection, I'm not sure if they had actual mirrors in those days. I very much doubt it. If you looked at sort of the reflection and that reflection cracked, it meant that you were ill. There was a something in you that wasn't right, and it would take 7 years to come right. So that's actually where that comes from. David, I'm not letting you get a word.
No. I was going to say I'm going to bring the intellectual level down a couple of notches just off to that to say that one of the interesting rituals or superstitions that I read about was Heidi Klum. You know, who was married to Seal. She carries her baby teeth around.
Oh, rubbish.
I promise.
Oh, rubbish.
She carries her baby teeth
Somebody
around.
Somebody so pretty carries her baby teeth around.
Apparently there was no, in Germany she said there was no tooth fairy. And she just got into this habit of carrying her baby teeth around in, you know, as a good luck charm. So I thought that was,
That's just weird. Just listen to what Ellie has to say.
So after my wife and I get married, we go to her grandmother, who is a very, very superstitious Moroccan, born and raised in Morocco, living in Israel. And standing behind me are my grandparents, a very, very non-superstitious English family. We get there, and in Hebrew, not to my grandparents' understanding, her grandmother welcomes us at the front door, and I'll translate. She says, "Ah, mazal tov asher baras hasam simcha chatam v'kala. I'm so glad you're here. Mazal tov, you should raise a house and a healthy home and happiness, and you should be blessed. You should be blessed, and you should have a firstborn. You should have a firstborn son, and you should all be healthy and should raise in Torah and in good deeds and in peace and happiness, and you should be pure. It should be a pure, pure household. So I'd like you, the bride and bridegroom, to walk in purity on something white. Hold on a second. Let me get something white for you." And she runs to the kitchen, comes back 3 seconds later, and empties a whole carton of milk all over the floor, signals for us to walk over it. That's a superstition. And as we walk over it, pretending nothing abnormal is going on, we just hear my English grandparents, my grandmother, say to my grandfather from behind us, "David, I think her Moroccan grandmother just threw a pint of milk on the floor." So how's that for superstitious?
What a wonderful voice note. How funny. Absolutely. Because we're all mad. We are all completely mad. Absolutely.
And why not? You know, why not do it?
And I don't think we need a psychologist to tell us that.
No, and that's the thing. What? It doesn't
take... Okay, Michelle, I'm not reading your message. No one wants to know about your undies that you wear for 5 days.
No.
All right, nobody.
No one. So don't talk about...
I'm not mentioning that, Michelle. Yeah. All right, sorry, carry on, Dave.
No, absolutely. It's easy to do. So why not do it? You know...
I mean, not the undies.
Not the undies. Yeah. All right. But we have... Don't take bananas on boats. Have you heard of that one?
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Don't take bananas on
boats. There's a superstition. I did not look that one up. Again, I'm not quite sure of the reason behind it, but it's, as we would say, it's a mushugas.
It is indeed. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519. I know that you are not superstitious. But David, is it really, you know, what's confusing to me is a lot of these things actually come from our cultures, our religions, and we could see that when you do some research on it, you can see that there's sort of Christian basis to it, there's Jewish basis to it. You know, I spoke to somebody yesterday, and he said to me that he's not allowed to cut his nails at night. And he said, I'm an observant Muslim. I don't know if that's because it's a Muslim thing, or if that's just because my mother would kill me if I cut my nails at night, because I'm not allowed to cut my nails at night.
Well, I think there's a very fine line between a ritual, you know, and a superstitious behavior. You know, sometimes they tend to blur into each other. But, you know, I think a ritual, which tends to be more, I think, you know, religiously based, is kind of an action we repeat because of its symbolic value. So the religion defines the rituals that the believers, that I suppose the believers of that religion are supposed to conduct. So, and these have developed over centuries and they're steeped in tradition, I think, rather than actual law you know. So
that's where it does become complicated. I see that a mess.
This is a quote, Chief Rabbi Harris of blessed memory, used humorously remark in a thick Scottish accent, "Ask Jews, we don't believe in superstition." Kenan Hutter.
And that is from Rabbi Ari Kiefer. What a brilliant, brilliant line. And why that's so funny for anyone who doesn't, didn't understand that. He says, we don't believe in superstitions and basically, you know, without the evil eye, without, you know, and, so, just in case it was a, just in case.